Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21. The Reverend Robert Wurst is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
You're reading from the first book of Moses, Genesis chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, 'Please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father.'" Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. The word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Vengeance is a natural thing for us. What do little children do when someone wrongs them? They strike back with astonishing speed and strength. They don't hold a thing back. They can be violent little sinners and adorable right after that. It isn't really something you grow out of, though. We do learn to control it a bit. What do you do when someone cuts you off in traffic, speaks an unkind word to you, or cheats you? You want to pay them back, don't you? And you're very creative at doing it. How often has hubby done something you didn't like and you thought, "I'll show him"? How often has your wife miffed you and you grounded out by some direct or indirect tactical action? Perhaps you don't let it see the light of day, maybe. But it certainly smolders warmly in your heart, sometimes for days and weeks and months. Vengeance is a natural thing for us. We are always inclined to it. It is an opportunity for us to exercise control over those who hurt us. It is an opportunity to be a god, honestly. Isn't that how the mythologies portray gods? Not as benevolent or merciful, but always plotting, always getting back at those who wronged them. We don't like to be made fun of. We don't like to be mocked. We don't like to be harmed. And when we are, watch out. It's payback time. It's very striking to see Joseph's reaction to his brothers groveling. Their father has died, and they are away from their home. They are now in Egypt. Egypt, the land where Joseph was taken as a slave after his brothers sold him off. Egypt, where Joseph rules everything except for the throne itself. The brothers know their sin. They are afraid down to their joints and marrow. And so they send a messenger to implore Joseph to forgive them for their father's sake. Joseph had all the power and authority to strike at them, didn't he? He did rule Egypt. All of its resources were available to him. The food and water were his to command. The prisons were his to fill. The impalement poles were his to hoist malefactors upon. So upon hearing his brother's pleas for forgiveness, you can almost see his eyes narrow as he begins to weep. He begins to weep. "Do not fear. Am I in the place of God? You meant evil, but God meant it for good. Do not fear. I will provide for you and your children." Thus he spoke kindly to them and comforted them. What virtue Joseph exercises here. Do you see what a powerful thing Christian virtue is and how really weak the power of evil is? He who endured such suffering at the hands of his own flesh and blood now reigns as a king. And the ones who caused him to suffer, who thought themselves his masters, they bow down to their brother and beg him to be servants, servants of the one they sold into slavery. And Joseph will have none of it. You can see him drag them up to their feet. He forgives them and wipes their slate clean. Vengeance is the exercise of pride, of letting one's ego have free rein. It is leaving the high ground where the Christian virtue of humility is found and wading down into the mud of hatred and revenge and retaliation. The trouble with going down into the mud is you can't blame your opponent for you being down there. You are the one who made yourself foul and muddy by entering the fray with the goal of paying things back. And you've often found, haven't you, that after you've waded down into the mud and exercised your desire for vengeance, you found yourself the ruler of a very scorched earth with really nothing to rule over. That possibility existed for our brother Joseph. He could have lashed out. He could have taken his vengeance 77-fold. No one would have blinked an eye. They probably would have praised him for it. How does this great mercy of his come to be? How does Joseph exercise love instead of vengeance, mercy over against retribution? It's nothing in Joseph. But we see God's creative wisdom at work in Joseph in bringing good from evil. Joseph certainly knows the story of Cain and Lamech. He knows that vengeance is forbidden to the children of God. The law of God never created love in any human heart. But as Joseph languished as a slave and then in prison, he reflected on the promises of God made to him and his forefathers. He knows the promises made to Abraham, the long-promised Messiah, first to Adam and Eve, then to his great-grandfather, his grandfather, and then to his father. He, that Messiah, is the object of his faith. He knows the forgiveness that God always gives. He knows what is promised to sinners. And so Joseph prodigally forgives his brothers for their sin against him. Thus we are brought to consider the greater Joseph, if you will, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, who had all the power and authority to strike at those who sought after his life. Could his Father not have sent 12 legions of angels to defend him? He who could calm wind and water with a word could have easily brushed aside all those who opposed him, consumed those who sought his life. But as he approaches Jerusalem and ponders what it has done against him and his father and the prophets, what does he do? He weeps. What does he say to those who betrayed him and left him for dead? He says, "Don't be afraid. Do not fear." His enemies meant it all for evil, but God meant it for the good of the world. The forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation are all accomplished through the evil of the cross. "My shed blood is your life," he says to you. "Salvation is accomplished through me. My stripes are your healing. My death is the burial of all your sins. I am," he says to you, "the forgiveness of your sins. I am your humility. I am your gentleness, your forbearance. Find your rest in the cleft of my wounds. Find your joy in my resurrection from the dead. Find your gladness in my ascension to the Father's right hand, where we rule with mercy and peace and grace." You know, Joseph wasn't superhuman. Sometimes we think those things, but he wasn't. He was like you. I'm sure there were times his desire for vengeance probably surpassed anything you could feel. Maybe not. How can you forgive? How can you resist wading down into the mud and becoming a vengeful, bitter person? Well, the Lord tells you where that is. You repent. It's always the place to start, to repent. And then remember the promises of God made to you in your baptism. Remember how God lifted you out of the darkness of your sin, how He removed your shackles, how He has washed you and robed you with honor, put His ring of sonship on your finger and shod your feet. You are not a slave, but a brother, a son of God. And as Joseph fell on his brother's necks, God has fallen on your neck and kissed you with His righteousness and peace. Who needs vengeance after receiving such gifts? Who needs others to be bondage, to be in bondage to them after being set free? Who needs wrath when one is so greatly loved? Why keep count of sins when all your sins are taken away? Why go down into the mud when you've been placed into a palace on a high ground? Humility is part of God's grand strategy for His Christians. Christ has lifted you from the mud and set you into His high place. You live in Him where true humility and justice always reign. This is a great gift from God in Jesus, and it can be obtained nowhere else, not in psychology, not in self-help books, not in anything, but only from the suffering, blood, death, and resurrection of Jesus. There's a little detail to this story that's not in the reading, but it's right after it. And keep this last thing in mind. In the end, Joseph asks his brothers to take his bones out of Egypt when they leave. Now, that's going to be a long time in the future. And just as he did not want to kill them, he does not want his bones to remain in Egypt. For if he can't inherit the promised land with them, he wants to be raised up with them from the promised land. He desires to live forever with his brothers in the paradise that God provides in his Savior. He looks forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Even there in Egypt, with all its pagan practice, he's looking forward to that. To the end, Joseph is fully reconciled with his brothers and looks forward to being with them around the throne of God in heaven, always beholding the face of their Savior. God is gracious and generous to us. Let us give Him thanks for all His good gifts to us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the congregations of the Minnesota North District and their pastors, together with all schools, teachers, and church workers. We also pray for the Reverend Arthur and Deaconess Eva Rickman, who serve the Lord in Panama. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.